For most of us, buying a home will be the biggest purchase of our lives and our biggest investment. But why is it so important for us Brits to own our own home? I'll be taking a look at renting versus buying in the post-Brexit age, exploring the historical and cultural trends of Brits being homeowners, and finding out why it's such a struggle to get onto the property ladder, as I speak to property experts, renters and buyers, and take a look at housing in our time.
The story of homes, of how a people live, is the story of the foundation on which a nation is built.
The latest house price index from the Land Registry shows that average house prices have increased by just over 8% in the year to May 2016. Over the past 2 years, first-time property sales have soared. On average, the cost of a typical first-time buyer's home is £168,000. That's up £20,000 from last year. Which is great if you can afford to buy a house and have a deposit to do so. But for those who can't, they have to remain on the rental market for longer and are being stretched to their limits as they attempt to keep up with ever-increasing rent prices. Josh and Anna from Littlehampton in West Sussex have had to move in with Josh's parents to save money, as even renting was costing too much. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Good to see you. Would you like a cup of tea?
I'd love one, thank you.
I think it's easier to rent because obviously you don't have to save as much as you would do to buy a place.
For the deposit.
For the deposit. Yeah. But still, I think either way, we're still struggling.
Mm. No, deposits are so high and wages aren't great, so
they ask for a lot of money too for a deposit, I reckon. Yeah.
Compliance Director Leaders Estate Agents Carol Charge explains why and how the housing industry has changed and the rental market has exploded in recent years. She believes buying is still a good idea, but highlights why renting isn't necessarily a waste of money.
So there's a whole host really of reasons why there's been a huge change in housing and the private rented sector in the 30 years that I've been in the industry. When I first started, it was before the 1988 Housing Act, and that meant that the private rented sector was really small. That's because if you were a landlord and you owned more than one property, you virtually had a tenant for life, and tenants were really well protected, so not many landlords invested in property. However, after the Housing Act, this introduced the concept that the landlord could issue notice to his tenant. So then it became more sensible, or a better investment, if you like, for someone to think, well, I'll invest in a property and let it, and then hopefully I've got the capital appreciation and the rental growth.
So why do you think we have this own your own home culture in the UK?
Well, I think the thing is that people are sometimes misinformed about renting. Often people say that when you rent, it's dead money. But actually, it's not, because you're paying to live. I would say when you buy a house, all of that interest that you're paying is dead money. And if you work out the amount of money that you pay in interest on a mortgage over the years, that will be a huge amount of money and it will almost really equate to renting.
Speaking to Joe Mallett and Sally Rice, lettings negotiators from Sims Williams Estate Agents, it's no doubt harder than a few years ago for young people like Josh and Anna, who are both on zero-hour contracts to rent, because of the difficulty of proving their earnings. With the amount of zero-hour contracts increasing and the demand for rental properties outweighing the supply, they explain their housing situation, which echoes similar to many others.
We're living at Josh's parents' house. We've been living here for about a year now.
And what's the reason that you're living here?
Because we couldn't afford the rent in our flat, so we had to move back.
So were you renting somewhere else before you came back to mum and dad's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're both in full-time work. What was the reason that you couldn't?
Just general life, really, I would say. The renting and everything that comes with it. You know, you've got your bills, your food, and then obviously you've got electricity, you've got water, you've got a bit of this, a bit of that, plus the rent. People might think when there is two full-time wages coming in is enough, but it's not really. Especially the prices at the moment to rent is really bad. It's a bit ridiculous, really.
Good afternoon, Sims Williams. So people on 0 hours contracts struggle to get a tenancy agreement because they can't prove an income because they haven't got a solid amount of hours, and therefore they don't earn enough on paper to rent a property.
So in terms of the demographic, who you see people struggling with getting into the rental market the most, what sort of category would you put them in generally?
It's probably the younger category, so it's those that are kind of trying to leave home, sort of early 20s, because a lot of people now are on 0 hour contracts because that's the way employment has gone, therefore they can't prove an income.
Have you found that at all, that it's more of a struggle to rent because you have to get all these checks done?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
What checks did you have to go through when you were in?
We had to take 3 month pay slips from Josh, then my job. They also had to calculate Josh's and mine wages multiplied by 12. And then if we had like less money than what it would be, then we wouldn't be able to rent. So let's say we had to have at least 18,000 coming in. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to rent.
With the cost of housing increasing at 3 times the rate of earnings growth, according to the Office of National Statistics, people are having to come up with new ways to enable them to jump onto the property ladder before the ladder becomes permanently unattainable. I'm in Worthing, West Sussex, to speak to Tim, Liam and Susie, who have just bought their first home. But in order to be able to afford to do so, they've had to chip in and go 3 ways on the mortgage.
Hello.
Hello, come in.
Thank you.
In here is the lounge and kitchen. There's open plan kitchen with a nice big breakfast bar in the middle, which is cool.
How long have you been in this house for?
Just over a month. We moved in on the 10th of June.
And what are the dynamics?
So Susie's my girlfriend and Tim is her brother.
And what made you decide to all buy together?
I don't think we would have been able to get a house otherwise. These guys inherited some money and we sort of used that to put the deposit down and buy the place.
Yeah, with sort of salaries and everything like that, we couldn't afford to get a place that we wanted. So we decided that we would do this firm and then see what happens with the property in the future.
Sales manager Melanie Longlands at Sim Williams explains why, although expensive, buying your own property is still a great investment.
Benefits of buying a property, obviously the investment side of things, the way the market is at the moment, it's, you know, always increasing. It's better than the money sitting in the bank. Obviously if buy-to-let people are looking at it, they're going to get a better return than if their money was sitting in a savings account. And obviously, at the end of the day, it's the, you know, traditional bricks and mortar, isn't it? So a lot of people think, you know, renting is, you know, dead money. But a lot of people are obviously struggling to get on the market. So once they're fortunate enough to be able to do so, then, yeah, absolutely, you know, good investment.
The current housing crisis is clear to see. Carol Charge explains how the changing demographic of the UK is a reason why there's a housing shortage. And she also raises her concerns about the effect Brexit could have on the housing market.
One of the things with leaving Europe is we could actually see house prices rise. That's because, well, if you haven't got investment in developers and house building companies from abroad, they haven't got the money to build the houses that we need. We're already in an acute housing crisis anyway, and we just don't have enough housing for the people in the UK, especially in the cities. And if there's a lack of new builds or new developments, then that's going to just exacerbate the lack of housing, and it could have an impact on rising prices due to shortage in the housing market.
So why is there this shortage in housing?
Well, generally, it's changing demographics, an ageing population and a growing population and an increase in divided families.
However, construction project manager for the Housing Association, Austin Wade, thinks rather than there being a housing shortage, there isn't enough affordable housing, which is a real cause of the problem. He doesn't believe Brexit will be bad for the housing market.
Possibly following Brexit, there could be a knock-on effect to the housing market where it slows down. I don't think it's going to slow down like it would do in a recession. I don't think we're going to go into a recession. Historically, housing associations have done more rented properties. Up until recent years, probably 75% of the overall number of units would have been for rent, with 25% of them being shared ownership. But I work for one of the larger housing associations. They're becoming much more commercial. So we're moving to an overall programme of roughly 50% outright sale, 25% shared ownership and 25% rented. So there's a huge reduction on the number of rented properties that we're looking to provide, partly because of the withdrawal of government funding, and partly because commercially they're not a good model. In recent years, that's sort of flipped round to about 30%, and after 2018, there's going to be no subsidy. And given that we're charging rents that are between 50 and 80% of market values, they just don't stack up.
And in terms of, we're being sort of told, you know, Britain's in a huge housing crisis at the moment, there's a shortage of housing. Would you agree or disagree with that?
It's a really interesting question. You know, sometimes I'm required to, you know, say those kind of things because there's certainly a demand for housing. I'm not sure that there is a shortage. I mean, there's quite a lot of migration, immigration in the country. There's a lot of families that are separating. And I think that those two things account for a lot of the demand. I mean, obviously young families setting up and the rest of it as well. But I think that my gut feeling is that the housing market is seen as a real safe bet for whoever is the government of the day to basically stimulate the economy. I mean, there's so much that comes off of the back of housing. You know, there's the whole construction industry, there's a whole raft of industries around the development of housing. It's without a thriving housing market, I think the economy would take quite a big hit. So I think it's in the government's interest, and I'm not sure if it's in everybody's interest, that we continually seek more housing.
Josh and Anna's long-term goal is to one day buy their own home because they feel it will provide security for themselves and their son and is the most sensible investment they can make for their future. For Tim, Liam and Susie, they're pleased they've been able to jump onto the first rung of the property ladder, and although they now have a mortgage to pay, they see their purchase as an investment and not a tie.
I think it's like quite a good platform for all of us, so whether me and, like, we can all go our separate ways if we wanted to and be able to use it as a sort of a good platform to go onto another property or to use it as an investment, like you say, rent it out. We're not really sure what we're going to do when we have to remortgage, so that's like, there are options, and it's quite nice having the freedom because everyone thinks that when you buy somewhere, that's you tied down, you know, you have to work in that area or sort of stay there for the next sort of 20 years, whereas I don't think any of us really feel tied down by it,
which I think
is the nicest part of it.
Enabling security for the future by owning your own home is a big selling point to buying. Equally, not having the maintenance costs and responsibilities for your rented home is a big plus point for renters. Being at the mercy of a fluctuating housing market and facing the possibility of negative equity can be one of the drawbacks to buying, whereas the downside for renters can be that they end up spending all their money on paying someone else's mortgage and therefore not being able to save to buy their own home. Almost 77 million people are expected to be living in the UK by 2050, statistics from the Population Reference Bureau claim. That's 11 million more people than are here today in 34 years' time, which shows demographic are changing. With the rising UK population, the demand for housing will continue to grow. If the supply does not keep up, the shortage will expand and the housing crisis will grow larger. As house prices and rents continue to increase, the jury is out on the effect of Brexit on the housing market, and only time will tell.